CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. It's a pleasure to welcome the new ambassador to the United States from the Republic of Azerbaijan, Khazar Ibrahim. He and I are sitting in the embassy of Azerbaijan in the United States in suburban Washington. We are, however, contemplating all the news that has come these last days from Azerbaijan. As you all know, I was in Azerbaijan in early December of 2020 during the virus because I was invited to tour the damage done by the war over Nagorno-Karabakh. I traveled to Ganja and saw whole neighborhoods destroyed by incoming missiles. Some of them were Scuds, some of them were other types of missiles fired by the Armenians, I learned afterwards, into civilian settlements. And the damage was horrifying. Imagine a war where there is no defense. Incoming missile destroys in the middle of the night. However, since then, there's been happy news from Nagorno-Karabakh, and I congratulate the ambassador and the people of Azerbaijan for making a success of what has been an open wound for decades since the end of the Cold War, the end of the Soviet Union. However, Mr. Ambassador, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The headlines in the Wall Street Journal on these last hours from Michael Duran, a well-known correspondent and historian, Azerbaijan's defiant message to Iran, subhead, Washington should take note of its alliance with Israel. As I understand it, this is a tangle that only the South Caucasus and Central Asia can understand easily. For some reason, the Islamic Republic of Iran feels that there is merit in accusing Azerbaijan of having friends, and one of those friends is Israel. And the evidence for this is that Azerbaijan has paid really good money from the bounty of petroleum resources that Azerbaijan makes available to the world, really good money for Israeli defense equipment. Now, a lot of people do that, but if for some reason it disturbs Iran. How to interpret this? Good evening to you, Mr. Ambassador.
Well, good evening. Good evening. Thank you very much. It's great to be at your show, and welcome to the embassy. What I just want to say is you started with the recent developments in the region, the formerly occupied territories, and in fact, you're absolutely right. Our government is doing its utmost in order to rebuild, to clean up the territories from mines, and make it actually the paradise, because what has happened there during the illegal military occupation was in fact the hell. And what has happened, all these missiles, as you mentioned, the Scuds and other ballistic missiles, they fell on the heads of civilian population. So this is actually the context for the regional affairs, and you're absolutely right. Maybe only the people of the Caucasus and Central Asia can understand it. The friendship, the challenges, the threats, the environment we have, and how have to navigate in these circumstances for centuries and even millennia. You're absolutely right. We have the situation when some start accusing us of being friends with somebody. But we have always been very transparent of our friendships.
Your friendships include the neighborhood. And so
it includes a lot of countries, yeah, a lot of people.
Russia, Turkey.
Absolutely.
Iran is not left out of this.
Absolutely.
You have a lot of Iranians who are very affectionate towards Azerbaijan, the large Azeri population that is Azerbaijan, I've learned from my trips there, is overwhelmed by the Azeri population in Iran. And then we have Turkmenistan, we have Kazakhstan, we have Italy and Greece and Turkey because they're receiving the bounty of your pipelines.
Well, absolutely. Italy is our second trade partner, in fact, because lots of natural gas is going to Italy. And yes, and we don't make any secret out of our friendships and our cooperation, be it on military side, defense side, energy side, doesn't matter. The most important thing is, as my president said recently, that we have independent foreign policy. So we choose who we are friends with.
The friends include all religions. I've traveled to your capital, Baku, right, and I've been introduced to the head of the Jewish community, the head of the Christian community, the head of the Sunni community, the head of the Shiite community. At the time, I thought, what's the big deal here? Right? Okay, fine. We got a lot of religious leaders. But in the Ummah, in the vast array of the Islamic world here in the 21st century, that is unusual?
Well, we are among the very few which should not be asked actually why these people, why these different religions, why these different confessions, why these different ethnic groups coming together. Because it's in our blood, it's in our genes. We've never in our history had a single non-secular day. Imagine how many countries, how many regions you can have like this. Always, I mean, Jews, Christians, Muslims, all others. We've been Zoroastrians before. So Zoroastrians, everybody, we live together and it's very natural thing. We should not think about it. We should not put it into our legislation about it. Yes, we put in our constitution that we're secular, but it came only because we have to do that in order to have it in our constitution. But otherwise, it's a very natural thing. And therefore, we have trust. And therefore, our neighbors sometimes can accuse us on something, but otherwise, entire world cannot and do not believe it.
The conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh is not finished. You have a great rebuilding job ahead of you before it's safe for the people who were dislodged to return to their homes. The mining, I'm told by my colleagues, is everywhere, very right. Dangerous. It was very dangerous for me when I was there in December, and I was discouraged from going in to the territory because the mines were everywhere. Right. At the same time, Russia's participating in peacekeeping between the contestants, Armenia to the north and Azerbaijan to the south. East. However, in Nagorno-Karabakh, there is also the question of, is it safe yet? Is there something here that could again lead to turmoil? And within these last days, we've had reports, international reports, that Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, is staging military exercises near the border of Azerbaijan and the border of the now free territories after the conflict. Can you explain to me why or how Iran thinks this is going to advance its case and trying to intimidate Azerbaijan, knowing that the Azeris of Iran are heartfelt neighbors of Azerbaijan? It makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, first of all, on the formerly Nagorno-Karabakh region, and after the war, now administratively, on these formerly occupied territories, we have Karabakh region and Eastern Zangezur region. So there are two economic zones established by the order of the president, and you're absolutely right. It's the most contaminated by mines
right.
place in the world.
Right.
And we're trying to do that. We're trying to create conditions for internally displaced people to go back to their homes. But what is happening around us? You're right. There are military exercises, military drills by Iran, and they do not hide. There are some statements by the officials, by the military of the Islamic Republic of Iran, which we do not consider helpful to the situation in the region. And in fact, these statements are alarming. Because we never had any military exercises staged by Iran during the 30 years since regaining independence, not only of Azerbaijan, but also of Armenia and Georgia, the three countries of the South Caucasus. And now apparently, suddenly, we're having these exercises, there are accusations, and we definitely believe that there is no ground, no foundation, no base for these accusations at all. And secondly, it's not just helpful, but it's actually creating unnecessary tensions in the region.
Finally, we have a minute. This is an ongoing story. It's unfinished business. My understanding is the rebuilding of Nagorno-Karabakh will take many years. Is that correct, Mr. Ambassador?
Yeah,
we have less than a minute.
Yeah, rebuilding will take a long time. But before that, we have to clean the mines. But again, my president created two regions. So it's Karabakh and Eastern Zangezur. And we are putting also a lot of investments. We're doing a lot of reconstruction work. And as my president did it within his orders, we are creating smart cities, smart villages, in order to show the world what Azerbaijan is capable of and how we started We are the place for integration. We are the place where people have the best life. And therefore, we'll make this formerly occupied territories the best place, not only for Azerbaijanis, but for entire region.
Khazar Ibrahim, Ambassador to the United States from the Republic of Azerbaijan. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.